Kuna. The doctor had shown no inclination to follow us when we had left camp, and I wondered what had made him change his mind. Not that I was in any way glad of the ghoul's company.
"What is it, doctor?"
"I became bored, Kawea."
The doctor high-stepped through what remained of the overgrowth I had scythed. His clothes, as usual, were impeccable, even as ours picked up cuts and stains from the time in the field. He wore a knee-length dun field jacket, unzipped at the front. Around his neck dangled a pair of dainty image-amp goggles. His hair was kiss-curled, lending him the sordid air of a malnourished cherub.
"Ah, and this is the tree."
I stepped out of his path, my hands sweating around the haft of the monofilament scythe, imagining what it would do to the ghoul if I were to accidentally extend the cutting arc and flick it through him. Whatever pain he suffered in the process, I thought, could not be measured against the cumulative dose he had inflicted in his career.
"Quite a specimen, isn't it?" Kawea said.
"The most recent fusion probably only happened a few weeks ago," Dieterling said, as comfortable with the ghoul as his master. "Take a look at the cell-type gradient here."
The doctor ambled forward to see what Dieterling was talking about. Dieterling had unpacked a slim grey device from the waist pocket of his hunting jacket. Of ultra-manufacture, it was the size of an unopened Bible, set with a screen and a few cryptically marked controls. Dieterling pressed one side of the device to the helix and thumbed one of the buttons. In shades of pale blue, vastly magnified cells appeared on the screen. They were hazy cylindrical shapes, packed together haphazardly like body bags in a morgue.
"These are essentially epithelial cells," Dieterling said, sketching a finger across the image. "Note the soft, lipid structure of the cell membrane. Very characteristic."
"Of what?" Geeta said.
"Of an animal. If I took a sample of your liver lining, it wouldn't look too dissimilar to this."
He moved the device to another part of the helix, a little closer to the trunk.
"Now look. Totally different cells, arranged much more regularly, with geometric boundaries locked together for structural rigidity. See how the cell membrane is surrounded by an additional layer? That's basically cellulose."
He touched another control and the cells became glassy, filled with phantom shapes.
"See those pod-like organelles? Nascent chloroplasts. And those labyrinthine structures are part of the endoplasmic reticulum. All these things are defining characteristics of plant cells."
Geeta tapped the bark where Dieterling had made the first scan.
"So the tree is more like an animal here, and more like a plant here."
"It's a morphological gradient, of course. The cells in the trunk are pure plant cells, a cylinder of xylem around a core of old growth. When the snake first attaches itself to the tree, wrapping around it, it's still an animal. But where the snake comes into contact with the tree, its own cells begin to change. We don't know what makes that happen, whether the triggering cue comes from something in the snake's own lymphatic system, or whether the tree itself supplies the chemical signal to begin fusion."
Dieterling indicated where the helix merged seamlessly with the trunk.
"This process of cellular unification would have taken a few days. When it was over, the snake was inseparably attached to the tree, had in fact become part of the tree itself. But most of the snake was still an animal at that point."
"What happens to its brain?" Geeta asked.
"It doesn't need one anymore. Doesn't even need anything we'd exactly recognize as a nervous system, to be frank."
"You haven't answered my question."
Dieterling smiled at her. "The mother's brain is the first thing that the juvenile